Please read the following scripture.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14.
For as much then
as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation or propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Please note these two expressions. The one in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. And then this one in chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 2, we shall be like him, we shall see him. Wonderful grace, dear brethren, that the Son of God should be made like unto his brethren. And the scripture says, in all things. Obviously, it does not include what is moral. Otherwise, a divine proviso would have been absolutely essential. For instance, when we read the fourth chapter of this epistle, verse 15, we read of him as our high priest, and this is what is said about him. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's a divine safeguard there, sin apart. And in this verse in Hebrews 2, where we've read, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, obviously it's not a question of moral character. It's a question of the verity of his incarnation. He couldn't be made like unto his brethren in what characterized them morally, because in assuming flesh and blood, he came sinless into that condition in which his brethren were, but they were sinful in that condition. So obviously our blessed Lord was not made like unto his brethren in that manner at all. Oh no, he was absolutely sinless, absolutely holy. So this being made like unto his brethren in all things embraces the truth of his incarnation. the Son, co-equal ever in deity with the Father and the Holy Spirit, steps into manhood. As the scripture says, he likewise took part of the same, that is, flesh and blood. And coming into that condition, he would be like his brethren, a real man in flesh and blood condition, spirit, soul, and body. And as incarnate and living here, he would acquaint himself as he did with all the blessed grace of his heart, with the sufferings and the sorrows and the griefs that they were experiencing, in order that he might be a succorer, as we've just referred to it in the fourth chapter of this wonderful epistle. In the 50th chapter of the book of Isaiah, for instance, we read these words about him. Verse 4 of chapter 50, Isaiah: "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned," or the learner, "that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learner." There we read of him in the greatness and glory of his blessed person, and yet in the charming grace of the manhood which he had assumed in taking flesh and blood, acquainting himself perfectly with the pathway of his brethren, in order that he might speak a word in season. Or as we read in that verse, Isaiah 50, verse 4, "that I should know how to speak a word in season." So, wonder of wonders, in becoming in all things like unto his brethren, he became a real man with all the blessed sensibility of holy manhood, with the acuteness of feeling that belonged to him because of his holiness, acquainting himself with the sorrows, I repeat, the griefs and the rigors and the trials and the pressures of the way, that he might be competent, that he might gain the knowledge so as to speak a word in season to those who are weary. Blessed Saviour, he became like us, wonderful grace. But if he became like us, he had in view, dear brethren, that he might go into death. Oh yes, Bethlehem had Calvary in view. He came to die. And as we've read in Hebrews 2, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and that he might deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So in becoming incarnate, he became like unto his brethren, with a view to delivering them from the fear of death, from the bondage of the devil. Wonder of wonders, now that he's been here, he has died, he has risen, and he's gone on high. He has an ability acquired down here in the days of his flesh that enables him, I use this expression with reserve but very reverently, that enables him to minister to his brethren who are treading the desert sand. And so he became like us, wonderful grace. What shall we say of this remarkable passage in the first epistle of John, chapter 3? We shall be like him. If in grace he came down, and in coming down was in all things made like to his brethren, this wonderful scripture involves, that we should be carried up into the glory, that we should be like him where and as he is. How wonderful, dear brethren. He's gone up on high. We have a blessed link with him where he is. The love of the Father is bestowed upon us who are the children of God. And on this account the world knows us not, because it knew our blessed Lord not. Such is the spiritual affinity through grace that we have with him, that we lie outside the cognizance of the whole world system, unknown as he was unknown. And we read here, beloved, now are we the children of God. The relationship is ours now. The circumstances and glory proper to it are not yet manifested. We read, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Thank God for this certain knowledge. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Wonderful to consider that he is going to be manifested. He has been manifested the first time, according to Hebrews 9, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But he's going to be manifested the second time, apart altogether from the sin question that was dealt with at the cross, unto salvation, to deliver his own entirely from the whole scene that's been dominated by sin and Satan, and to set them alongside of himself in the glory of God. As we've read, for instance, in the second chapter of this epistle on many an occasion, it behoved him, it became him, rather, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Just think of it. God is bringing the many sons to glory, and they certainly shall be brought to glory. And this remarkable statement in the third chapter of First Epistle of John means that when he is manifested in glory, what a contrast to the humility and the humiliation that attended him when in all things it behoved him to be made like to his brethren. When he's manifested, crowned with glory and with honor, blessed a son of the Father, the heavens opening that he might be set forth. In that day when he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. This involves, does it not, dear brethren, that we'll be manifested with him? Has not the Spirit of God said in the Colossian epistle, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Yes, we'll be manifested with him. And his likeness will be impressed upon every glorified saint. That glorified throng, sharing this glory with him, shall be used, wonder of wonders, to radiate his glory throughout the bounds of the universe of bliss. Ah, yes, the Spirit has told us in the second epistle of Paul the Thessalonians, he's going to be glorified in all them that believe. And in that day when he is manifested, they'll be manifested with him, all like him for his glory. As we sometimes sing, not we alone, thy loved ones all complete, in glory round thee there with joy shall meet. All like thee, for thy glory like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored. Ah, yes. will be manifested with them. But wonder of wonders, there's an addition to this statement. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Ah, dear brethren, we'll see him as he is before he's manifested in power and great glory. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and he's going to raise the sleeping saints. He's going to change the living saints. And he's going to catch them both, raised and those who are alive and changed, catch them both up to be with himself and like himself. We'll see him as he is, and we shall be like him. And in that moment, when he's manifested from the opened heavens, the universe shall trace his glory in every glorified saint. Praise his blessed name for the grace that brought him down, made him like us, because this shall eventuate in all his own, being like him, with him, where he is. Praise him forevermore. Amen.